because
we got to go through. That would be the end. If I.
It seems, Phil, that during the, especially during the early years of the Union, that the boycott was a very important activity in which a lot of people in the Union, the officers, for example, or particularly, took part in. But so far as I know, you have not gone to any boycott. Why was that? Is that true that you have not gone to any boycott?
Let me start it this way. They thought that the boycott is important to pressure the growers. Right. So what happened was that we got to Santa Barbara, and to decide about what to do about the boycott and how we are going to get the help of other people, like churches and organizations, you know, and so on. Here's their offices, your facilities, that they would furnish for us, you know, and so on like that. And then also...
We, in this case, was the board?
Well, the people will be sent to boycott, you know.
No, but you said we went to Santa Barbara. You mean the board, did you know?
No, the, well, everybody.
Oh, I see.
That because they are going to assign where the people will go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not only the board,
mm-hmm.
everybody else. So we went, and we went to that mission. It's a Catholic mission, you know. And I think so. And then before we went, and I talked to Cesar in Delano. Now I said, this is the effect of what I said. I asked him. I cannot quote exactly now how I said it, or I asked him. But I think I asked him, what about these people going to Santa Barbara? Are they going to the boycott? You know, I asked him a direct question. And he said, yeah. Then I said, well, I cannot go. You see, in the beginning I told him, I cannot go. Come. And then I asked him another question. I said, should I come over there? He said, oh, yes. So I went, you know? But I was not assigned because I told him in the first place that I could not go. Now, there are many things that there were reasons that I couldn't go. First, I read a lot about unionism. And I found out, you know, that the way it starts, it has a noble purpose, but then in many cases, I found out that the leaders were crooks. So I thought that was my responsibility also as a member of the union to know what is going on inside. That's one. All right. The other one was, this is the first time that I'm telling my reasons. Mm-hmm. The second reason was this. I'm not as healthy as others presume. Mm-hmm. I got the hemorrhoids, you know, and I'm not strong as I appear to be. I'm not, you know. And then that hemorrhage was kind of bad, you know. It gets into my underwear, blood all over. I got no facility. I don't know where I was going, you know. And if I have the facilities to take care of myself, my private problems, you know. And I cannot tell everybody this and that and this and that. And then I will be asked why I went there in the first place, you know. The second, then that was my health. The third was that I got a little property in this ground. And it was my experience that when it's freezing, it breaks the pipes. All right, I want to take care of that because that's all I got. You know? If I don't do that, I'm going to lose it. I have the hands that no matter how good they talk about brotherhood, when I get broke, you know, when I get broke, I don't think they're going to help me out. You see, I have that kind of feeling. Now, not that I didn't trust them then, but I have that kind of feeling, you know. Come on, get over. And so that's the third reason, you know. Now, let me say my reaction. I think it was good that I didn't go. Because if I went, I was assigned to Baltimore, or to Chicago, or to New York, or to San Francisco, or Los Angeles. That's all I know. I don't know how the union is running. All right. Have I done anything about the boycott? Since certainly I did. Because I have been speaking in rallies, and because my kind of a little reputation as expressing the goals of the union and to report to them what the union is all about, I was in demand. You know, this is the first time that I talk like this.
Demand as a speaker.
Yeah. So I went around. And so a lot of people have been interested in me, these organizations, and they brought me to big organizations, big rallies. They brought me to universities and colleges and to church institutions like the Catholics, because one time I spoke 7 times in one day in Oregon, Eugene, you know. And then the rally, you know, sometimes I was not invited, but when they don't want to go, they sent me. So sometimes it was favorable, but you see, I know now that they send me because they figure out that those are too radical for them, and they don't want to be involved. That's my assessment, you know, because well, it's important that you know they want to be there. They go, they make the time. And they went. But for me, I was not afraid of anything. ideological or what, you know, whether it's a conservative place or what, like, for instance, I've been going to Pomona, I've been going to San Luis Obispo, you know, these things. And those students, they were sons of growers, and, you know, they're in the kind, in the line of business administration and so on like that, you know. I went and spoke. They come to the union, and I was the one who received them and talk about the union, you know. Now, I was not afraid of that. So, in fact, I was not afraid of any garden group, you know. And so I had to be so informed. And that's why I read and read and read. I got no time to write a speech, because all the time that I want is to know much more, to have some materials, you know, to be ready in case some kind of a question might touch that point or that field, that area, you know. So that's why I'm used to extemporaneous speaking. And of course, I have that kind of experience in Chicago. My experiences in Chicago fit me in the union, you know. And so this socialist group, they got me in Los Angeles, they got me in the papers and so like that, and then they invited me to a rally, a big rally in Washington, D.C. I spoke. And you know that the guest speaker, it was a big auditorium. I spoke. After I got through speaking, you know what? That guy came to me and shook hands with me. Right there, they were looking at him. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I got an ovation. I have been in that kind of a situation, you know. So I told you, I enjoy, because I have found an outlet of my ideals, you know.
Right.
And that was all. I went there for the union, mm-hmm. you know. And so I lost. I lost the material aspirations that I got. Because that's why I bought the property in Roosevelt, because I wanted to go into business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we will deal with that question later on. But since you mentioned about speaking in rallies, the other day you mentioned
that was
the largest... Yeah, right. This is related to boycotts,
right? I bet, you know, I spoke more than most of them who went to the boycott.
Mm-hmm. So what you are actually saying is, although you weren't there marching in front of grocery stores or in charge of the boycott effort.
Because I was visiting where the pickets were.
That's right. But that, in fact, you were also in the boycott in the sense of speaking to generate motivation.
Right.
For
And different places.
In different places.
I was not stationed in one place, one area, as others did.
Right. But talking about speaking in rallies, the other day you mentioned about speaking in probably the largest crowd that you remember.
Oh, that was
remember.
In Golden State.
What was that? Okay.
Golden State in the Bay Area.
Uh-huh.
And that's where Rudolph said that that was the... he was there. He was looking at me.
Yeah.
And... Well, of course, he recognized me then, you know, because I met Rudell very early in the union.
Right. Now, this crowd was, how big was it, did you say?
250,000.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The whole crowd was full.
Uh-huh.
That's what I said according to the papers.
Right. And you spoke in there, and what happened?
And the guest speaker... There were a lot of speakers, but the main speaker was Gregory Dick. I mean, was that
Dick Gregory?
Dick Gregory. And that's what I was impressed about Gregory. He was a very, very what do you call, very effective speaker.
Right.
He was like Jackson, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
Jackson is a very good speaker. And Willie Brown of San Francisco, you know, like the speaker.
Of the California Assembly? Very,
yeah.
Right.
He's a very good speaker.
So they spoke in the rally also?
No, no. Yes.
You're talking about a good speaker.
According to their rhetorical persuasion, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, what happened there? You were something about your speech.
Yeah, and then, you see, I was looking, and the people kept coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked, you know, and the park was full. And they're still coming, you know. And so, see, I'm not used to, I don't know the system. But in a microphone, in a hall, or in the campus, yeah, I know that they can hear me. Because
mm-hmm.
I am looking at them, you see.
Right.
But I'm looking at them too, but I see, I don't know who's there. I know there are people, but, you know.
Yeah.
So I tried my best to kind of reach them and something like that, and I get exhausted, you see.
What they are trying to say, I guess, is that there were so many people coming, and
yeah.
in your desire to reach them, you spoke with a lot of
energy.
Force and energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
And what happened?
And then I'm losing my breath. And so I have to conclude, you know. I spoke for a few minutes, and then I have to conclude. And then, you see, I cannot... get out of the stage because it was kind of elevated and afraid, you know. That's why I'm going down, I might lose my breath, so I kept walking back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't know that I was in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't fall down or anything, but, you know, while I was walking, I was inhaling and exhaling deep breath. You know. So then when I recovered, then I went down. Then I saw one guy there named Carter. He was a good speaker too. He's in the union. I forgot the union where he belongs to me. So I have those experiences.
Yeah. Well,
and then one thing too, see? I was sent by Caesar to go.
To that rally?
Yeah. But as I said, when I get through, I come back, they don't want to do anything. So I found out that they were not interested. So wherever I went, I never let them know. See? Because I have an agreement with Caesar that when I'm invited, I'll go, you know, with his permission in the office. So he's supposed to know what I was doing. And then, when I attend some kind of rallies like those, I think they should be interested for me to make a report. But they were not interested. So I didn't want to tell them that I want to make a report,
mm-hmm.
because I was nothing to them, see.
Nor did they ask you to make a report.
Oh, no. That's why I don't make the reports, because they don't ask me.
Okay. Well, along this line of speaking for the union, I understand that one of the things...
So I was doing my part.
Right.
You know,
in the boycott.
In the boycott.
And one of the things that you did along this line was to go to England, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Could you discuss or describe your trip to England? How you went there? What your experiences were?
Yeah, well, I was sent.
Okay.
Because I was, you see, they didn't know me like they know Cesar Chavez. But this is the way it went. This Jerry, who was working for his dissertation, you know, Dr. Wright. I think he was kind of Jewish, sir. And his wife was interpreter in the union when we had meetings. Juanita is her name. And Jerry, I forgot the family name now. They were from, I think, from Florida. And so Jerry was in communication with, he was assigned the job, you know. So he was in communication with England, in Sweden. I don't know about Norway, you know. So there was a, I don't know what you call that. It was a, the World Council of Churches will have a conference. That means that delegates were coming from all parts of the world, you know. And then I saw a lot of these American blacks, a lot of them, ministers and so on and that. Because you see, the World Council of Churches is Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Catholic, you know. Then I met people from Australia. That's where I met this Mrs. Walker, a writer from Australia, a native. He got straight hair, he was black. And he said that her father was Filipino, Gonzales or something. I forgot now. You know, and so people from India, they were there, and so on and that. Well, the one who was moderating was McGovern.
You know? McGovern.
McGovern, yeah.
Senator McGovern.
Yeah, Senator McGovern. And let me say that the World Council of Churches invited Cesar Chavez. But at that time, Cesar Chavez was conducting the meetings in bed. I mean, the board meeting. And when we have a meeting...
Why? Because he was sick or something?
He was recording from the fast.
Okay.
It's right. Bad. So, Caesar could not go because... He was in bed.
Yeah.
You know, he was sick. So it was, he said that Dolores will go. So when we go to the meetings with these growers about the service center, I think about the, about the clinic, you see, because, you know, the clinic is supposed to be a joint thing for the union and the growers, because the money was coming from the growers, but of course the money was given for the workers.
Right.
So I heard this, there was a Miniti, a lawyer, she was a woman, and he said, Dolores, you know, I heard that you are going to England, you know, this and that, you know. For a long time, I've been talking about Dolores going to England. And I said, yeah. No. Then when the time is getting closer, then we got a meeting, and Caesar was lying in bed, and we kind of circled around, you know. So you got Moses there, you know, Marianne, and so. And the others, not only the book, you see. And Then he said, Caesar said, you know, I cannot go, so I asked Dolores to go, but now Dolores cannot go. So I think we let Richard to go. The next morning, we got a meeting again. And then the sister said, well, he said, Richard cannot go. And then they asked, why? He said, then they let Richard spoke. And he said, he pointed at his brother and said, because of him. You know? So, I was sitting by Richard, and then the sister, when after Richard replied, he turned his head to the other way, and then he said, then very soon he turned towards us, to me and Richard, and so on and that. And then he said, what about you, brother? To me. And then I was surprised, you know. I don't have the information or nothing, you know, and so on and that. And now I'm going to England to attend the conference, and I don't know what to do, and it's not, you know. And then what worried me was the means of going. And I said, no, I cannot go. I said, and then they asked, why? And then I pointed up in the sky and I said, I've never been there, you know. It means that I didn't want to ride in the plane, see? Everybody laughed at me, you know. And he said, oh, it's nice, you see. It's more dangerous to ride in a car than be flying there, you see. And then after we were going to Auckland, because we were supposed to be picketing the headquarters of Safeway. The headquarters were there in Auckland. So according to the plan was this. Dolores should not allow herself to be arrested. And me, of course, because I was supposed to go to England, and Dolores, you know, got to be free, and Larry Young should go to jail, see? So that was the arrangement, you know. And then Dolores told me, you bring your citizenship paper tomorrow, and then we go and get your passport. And of course, I always said that I couldn't go, you know. Mm-hmm. Then I didn't know where my citizenship paper was, so I spent all night looking for the damn thing, and in the morning I found it. So I put it in my pocket, and then I went to the hall, Filipino hall, and waited for Larry. And then Larry got Dolores in her car, and then me, picked me up in the hall, Filipino hall. Then Dolores asked me, did you get your citizenship paper? You know, I said, no. Then he didn't say anything. Then we went out through the highway. Then I told her, yeah, I got my citizenship paper. Then I said, okay. I don't know who was with us, because we were in the lot, I think.
Well, so anyway.
But I couldn't remember, yeah. We were only three. And then And then he said, well, we'll go, we'll get your passport. So we left Dolores.
To get the passport.
In there, in Oakland. And I don't know if you went to San Francisco. I don't know now. But Larry knew where to get the passport. So I went with Larry. Dolores was not there. We left her there. Then we went back. After that, and in a very short time, they sent me my passport. And or we went to get it. I don't know. I forgot now.
Yeah.
Well, so anyway, we got passport. Okay. Right. So, but then, according to the plan, Dolores was free, and Larry was arrested, brought him to jail, and I was out of touch because I was supposed to go to England, you know, and so on. And then, when we went back, and Larry later on came home, like that, okay. I went to, Jerry was in communication, and I was not even thinking about clothes. And I didn't even know, because that was the first trip that I made. And I was not thinking about, you know. But then there was a woman, a black woman, and her husband, that they came to the union early. And the name was Alexander. And I got I met them, and then they sent me a very good new wool shirt or sweater. And I wore that to go to England, you know. And then I was invited to speak. I was the speaker in this Bay Area, you know. Fundraising project, and I forgot now that guy who invited me. Then I found out that those were the writers, some of them were poets and so on. You know. But I was the speaker, and then I found out that those people that I had been seeing in the Bay Area were they know me and I know them, see. But I didn't know that they were that much writers, you see. So this black guy, young fellow, very...
In that group, you mean?
Yeah, in that group. He was also invited, I guess.
To go to England?
No. I'm talking about the Bay Area, you know.
Well...
I'm still... Yeah. Wait a minute, because I want to put this in history.
Yeah.
Because they were helping the union. Then here, he got this girl, they were from Los Angeles, and then her name was Alexander. And then he wrote her name, MD. She was a doctor, see? Uh-huh. So I just want to put that in record because I want to deal with it later. That was the sweater that I wore when I went to England, okay? Then Jerry gave me $200. That was from the union. And then, of course, I attended the conference. And after that, during that period, I was also talking with the head guy in Safeway, something, you know, because we were boycotting Safeway, see? So, and then, of course, I was supposed also After the council's meeting to go to Sweden, you know. So I found out that the $200 was not enough. Because when I went to buy my ticket, see, because my round trip was only from the United States, from Los Angeles to
London,
not Sweden. So there I found out that, you know, I was not. And then I was also invited in
Newcastle.
50 kilometers south of Scotland. And then that was done after I came from Sweden. Of course, when in Sweden, I was talking to the head guy of the co-op, telling me that 85% of the people of Sweden belong to the co-op, you know. But the point that I want to make in that conversation with him was this, that they said that we should sign with some so they could patronize some, you know, also. And that all depends upon the, because I was telling him.
The union should sign?
Yeah, some kind of contract with the growers, you know. So they could buy from them. And again, also the consideration of price, because see, I found out that the grapes were not only coming from the United States, they were also coming from the European countries and also Africa. I don't know which country now.
South Africa, maybe. Yeah. Maybe Chile also, I don't know.
So even a co-op is dealing, operating in principle for the people. They are also concerned about the, marketing.
So what your trip there was to see about boycotting grapes also there then? Is that the idea?
Well, there is a double thing. It is the boycott. Yeah. This is a boycott thing because let me see. You know, the World Council of Education is very powerful.
Correct.
Yeah. And they represented a lot of people. See, you know, don't forget, those are just delegates there, you know.
Right.
But they represent a number of people, millions of people. And so, and then when in Sweden, the idea was to make the Swedish people more aware of what we were doing, because I have been appearing in their own papers, in the media, you know. And because you see, when they visited the union in Delano, you know that I looked and there were a number of them. That's why I was not able to go to Anne's Draper's
funeral.
And you see, I went to get some chairs, and you know, I was surprised, but I didn't show them that he was surprised. When I was entering in, all of them had their cameras, you know, take my picture and this and that. It was just like, I was like Cesar Chavez at the time.
Now, where was this, in the Filipino Hall or in Sweden?
No, over here in the Philippines, in the 40 acres.
Yeah.
You know. And then there's another remark that was made by this guy, I forgot his name now, that they said, I see Philip's name in the World Report or some damn thing, you know, in the dealing with foreign things in relation to unions, you know. So that's the way I was.
Okay, so your trip to England was to London to talk to the World Council of Churches meeting.
Yeah, and also to meet the representatives of the unions, like this guy, this one, Elaine Erickson. I don't know, I forgot now. Elaine, he came from England, but he was from New York. And then he told me the names, and this guy came and looked for me, you know. I forgot his name either, but he was a Dacher. You know, he was a kind of a important position, because he was elected by the members of the union, you know.
Right.
And they were very strong.
So it was to make them aware
of the union, the
boycott, and what have you.
Yeah, right.
So then you went to Sweden on the same purpose.
Then I got some kind of remark that they kind of, well, maybe it was my mistake or misunderstanding, you know. Because Drake was there also. He went to Europe. Richard, he went to Europe too. And they made a statement that, you know, there was a guy whom I met that kind of responsible of, but I wouldn't left, you know. And I did not understand him. Evidently, because he said to Jim Drake that I was expected the next day, but I didn't go. In a certain day, I didn't go. You see? So I didn't understand him well.
Yeah.
You know. And then he told me also that the press was there. So when I went, there were a few, but more before, you see. So I missed that. But anyway, there were members of the press, and I got into the news. But then, if I went the day that they expected, and what he told them, then I would have a more...
Well, had more coverage.
Coverage, yeah.
This was in Sweden or in England? This was in...
In England.
In England.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So, when you came back from that trip, you made a report? Did you make a report about it to the...
No. They were not interested.
I see.
You see? And the only thing that... you see, I was with Caesar, you know, and kind of... being with him, and he was recovering from his what do you call it? His back.
Yeah.
And then he asked me something, and I said a few words, and that was it.
I see.
And he didn't even have any, didn't put any effort to make me report in the meeting. So, see, I was not saying anything, but it hurts, you know. Now, suppose they send you, then you come back, they just ignore you, you know.
Right.
Well, it hurts you, because you sure. thought that you got something to say. But, and you are so modest that you don't want to tell them that you are going to make a report, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the way it went.
Yeah, you said something before about how you went to Sweden in light of the fact that you did not have enough money. How did that happen? I mean, how were you able to go to Sweden when your money that was given by the union was not enough?
It was not enough. Because the cost of the flight, day flight, plus my little money that I put in with me.
Mm-hmm.
My own money, not from the union.
You spent your own money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what was over, but I know I didn't have enough money.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to the builder, well, I don't have that enough money to pay the ticket. And she said, well, maybe night flight. And then I said, well, how much is night flight, you know? Then she told me, then I got enough.
Mm-hmm.
But just a few dollars left.
Mm-hmm.
So I went. Yeah, I went. And then from there, I went to Newcastle. And from Newcastle, I went back to London to take my flight way back home. But don't you know that I could not take the plane right away because there was no plane leaving. So where the hell am I going? So all night, I kind of early in night, I look around, I see people. And then by then I see people, and so right down there, same thing. And they have a very good
lying down in the lounge,
yeah,
on the chairs.
Yeah, on the chairs. Mm-hmm. And then I was afraid for the few dollars I got, you know. I was afraid to get out. Go to the hotel because I know it's expensive. Then I have to wait. And I sleep there.
So you stayed in the...
They don't know because I never said anything about it.
So you stayed in the airport the whole night?
Yeah.
Sleeping there?
I did. Now, you think the Caesar Chavez would have enough money to go to a hotel and so on? Well, they have...
Yeah.